Well, on this fair Sunday, went to the fair on, where did we go, Friday? No, yeah, we went on Friday and went and toured it and seen what all was there, and was able to get my sausage sandwich, and my once a year sausage sandwich. Now, I have to go again and get another one because I made it wrong. Because sausage sandwich, you have to use mustard or ketchup? Mustard. And I was so befuddled that they had them put ketchup on. So, Polly, we have to go again today and get another one. With an elephant ear, right? Elephant ear and a lemonade shake-up. And so much for my diet, right? So, one time a year. Okay. Anyway, turn, if you will, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm getting a lot of echo back here. So, you're working on it. We're doing some readjusting of the sound system. So, if you notice things sound a little different, we're just readjusting everything right now. John chapter 14. There we go. Got to turn that on. John chapter 14. There's a lady who died and went to heaven. When she got to heaven, St. Peter met her at the pearly gates and started talking with her. And the lady looked at St. Peter and says, "What do I have to do to get into heaven?" And St. Peter looked at her and said, "You have to spell a word." "Well, what's the word?" "Spell love." "Okay, L-O-V-E." "Well, come on in." So went into heaven. A couple years later, in heaven speak, or more earthly than anything else, a couple years later, she was walking along. St. Peter saw that lady and said, "I have to go someplace. Can you please watch the gates and make sure no one gets into heaven unless they know how to spell the word?" And she said, "Okay, I will do that for you." Wouldn't you know it, the next person that came to the pearly gates of heaven was her husband on earth. And she looked at her husband and said, "John, it's great to see you." He says, "Oh, Mary, it's great to see you as well." She goes, "What have you been doing on earth since I left?" And she said, he goes, "Well, it's been great. You know that nurse that took care of you in the hospital before you died?" "Yeah." "Well, we fell in love and we got married 6 weeks later. And since then, we've been able to do everything that you and I couldn't do together. We went out. We've been traveling the world. It's been total bliss. It's been great. Mary, what do I have to do to get into heaven?" She said, "You have to spell a word." "What's the word?" "Czechoslovakia." Heaven. Next two Sundays, I want to talk about heaven. I think we don't look at heaven enough. We don't focus on where our eternal home is going to be enough. When you go into a community and you buy a house, you normally go and get a spreadsheet. And on that spreadsheet, it has a picture of the house, how many bathrooms, how many bedrooms, how many square foot, what type of air conditioning, what type of heating it's going to be, and when it was built, and all the important information as it relates to that house is found there. And so when it comes to heaven, which is going to be our eternal home, by the way, you do realize that. That when you die, it's not the end, it's only the beginning. And that where you are going to be in eternity will be forever. It is not going to be like here on this earth where you can move from here to here to here, or one state to another state, another country to another country. You're going to be in heaven, a place that's prepared for you. And you will be there forever. Death will be no more. The pain of life will be no more. Coronavirus will be no more. Everybody says, amen to that one. We won't have to wear masks anymore. We will see Jesus, not with a mask on, but we will see Jesus face to face. And when we're standing in heaven and we realize, I say this so many times, when we realize where we could have gone, and now we realize where we are heading or where we're going to be for eternity, we're going to be able to do nothing, absolutely nothing, but give him praise and honor and glory. Heaven. Heaven. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 14. And in it he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am going. Do you know the way to the place that I'm going?" Heaven. That's what he's talking about. We are kind of enamored about heaven in our society. And I think sometimes we just want that ultimate proof that there is a heaven. And so you have people who have near-death experiences, and they come back and they talk about it. And believe it or not, it does bring some comfort. I had individuals at my last church that had a near-death experience, and he talks about it. And he says, "You know, and I don't fear death anymore. Books are written about it. This little boy's had an appendectomy, and his appendix exploded, and he died, and he went to heaven." And so they wrote a book entitled "Heaven is for Real: A Little Boy's Astounding Story of His Trip to Heaven and Back." Proof of Heaven is another one. A neurosurgeon's journey into the afterlife. To Heaven and Back, a doctor's extraordinary account of her death, heaven, angels, and life again. And for some reason, we like to study those books because it's an account of somebody that's experiencing it. But really what we need to do is we really just need to focus on God's Word, because God gives us everything that we could ever want to know about heaven. He's the one that shows us what heaven is going to be like. He shows us what will be there and what will not be there. And that's very important. We're going to discuss that next week. But Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms." And he's talking about eternity. You know, we can read all these books all we want. But, and I want to put a big but there, and you can circle it and everything else. It doesn't matter what those individuals says, it matters what the Word of God says. That's the key. It has to be God's Word, because let me tell you something, I can stand up here and I can make $1 million today, you know that. Do you know that? All I need to do is write a book entitled I Died and Went to Heaven, and I say absolutely everything that you want to hear. Your dog will be there. You know, Fido the dog will be there, and he'll be with you in your house forever. Your cat will be... No, cats won't be in heaven. And all the people said, "Amen." Okay, who are the cat lovers here? Okay, we got one. All right, I got to be kind to this. Well, two. One's over there as well. But anyway, I can say all those things. You know, your uncle that was an alcoholic that never followed Jesus, he can be in heaven as well. And you write all that stuff, and guess what's going to happen? I'm going to win $1 million, or I'm going to make $1 million on that book, because that's what everybody wants to hear. Sylvia Brown, many of you know, was a psychic that was on television a lot in the 1980s and 1990s and 2000s. She's dead now, so she knows the reality of what she's been teaching. And it was just amazing, because I literally watched her, because I knew exactly what she was doing. She would literally stand there and she would say exactly what you wanted to hear. "I talked to your husband in heaven, in the afterlife, and he's fine." Who all wants to hear that? "And he's fine. And yes, your cat's there too." Okay, we'll look at your cat's there too. But is it based upon God's Word? Because that's the ultimate filter of everything. Has to be God's Word. And so Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me." So as we look at eternity, as we look at what's happening in our society today, because, I mean, this isn't the only time our society has blown up, anybody who lived in the 60s and 70s. But hopefully your hearts are troubled by what you see. And Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." And what he's saying is this is not your home. Eternity is your home. You're just passing through. So there's some truths I want to bring out about heaven today, and next week we'll go even further. Number one, heaven is an actual place. Got that? Heaven is an actual place. It's talked about 550 times in the scriptures. Jesus talks about it 192 times, or 10% of Jesus' comments have to do with heaven. Now, unless you're saying, well, I always heard that Jesus talked about more about hell than heaven. No, he actually talked about more about heaven than hell, because 2% of the time he talked about hell. Now, that tells me a couple things. Number one is, you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. God made us as eternal beings. So there is a heaven and there is a hell. Those who go to heaven is based upon what they've done with Jesus. Those who go to hell is based upon what they didn't do with Jesus. It's that simple. So it is an actual place. Question, where is it? Answer, I don't know. The number one thing I learned as a pastor is to learn those three words, I don't know. Many times I like to have all the answers and I don't have all the answers. I don't know where it's at. The Apostle Paul talks about it in Corinthians, the third heaven, he talks about that. But we don't know where it's at. One thing I've learned as I'm getting older is how much I don't know. And what I also learned as I'm getting older is how vast God's creation is. I mean, when you have a sun that you can put 1 million of our suns in that sun, it is a vast creation that it boggles and blows your mind. So if God can create the heaven, the earth can create the solar system, can create the universe, 1 billion universes and solar systems and everything else we can see by our telescopes, we can see, you know, 1 billion of them. Guess what? God can certainly make a heaven. So it's an actual place. And we know it exists. Why? Because the Bible says so. Secondly, heaven is a place that you yearn for. I hope that's a reality. As I get older, I'm starting to learn that even more. When you're young, you got your whole life ahead of you. You're going, oh, you know, life is great. I got all this I want to do. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to go, you know, all this stuff you want to do. But heaven should be a place that we as Christians yearn for, that we look forward to. And that's hard to change your mindset. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 says, meanwhile, we all groan, longing to be clothed instead in our heavenly dwelling. So, I mean, can we get to the point where we groan wanting to go to heaven? And notice what it says. We groan. Why groaning? I think there's a couple reasons why we groan. One of the reasons why we groan, because we recognize that this earth, something's not right. Do you agree with me? Something's not right. 2020, the summer that wasn't. That's the best way to describe this. The summer that wasn't. Every time we tried to do something, baseball bat hits us on the head. Can't do that. Do you groan? You're watching what's happening in Seattle and Portland, and this isn't right. You see what's happening in California where they're forcefully shutting down churches, going, this isn't right. You see all this stuff that's happening. You go, something's not right here. And hopefully your spirits are groaning, saying something's not right. Now, we can do a couple things. We can complain about it. And a lot of us do that. Get on Facebook. We can get on our knees about it, which hopefully. But we can also look forward to something better that's coming. Something is better. So it should be a place that we yearn for. How do you yearn for it? Really simple. Read the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Read what heaven's like. Read Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Read what it says. And realize the fact that these aren't just stories, but these are actual events that you are going to experience. When you have the angels of God in Isaiah 6 that are surrounding the throne and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. You are going to experience that. You're going to see it. Many of you know I love to travel. I really like this area. I'm not done exploring Mercer County. I just found another bike trail I got to find. That didn't make sense. I just found another bike trail I have to find. I just found another bike trail I need to explore. How about that? Okay? And I was in St. Mary's the other day, and I found someplace else to ride my bike, and I saw something. I need my camera. I got a new toy. Did you see my camera? And I'm taking pictures of butterflies and everything else. And I found the spot. It was a perfect angle. It looked like St. Mary's was in a canyon. It's not. But I go, I got to take a picture of this. And so I tried to go bike riding with Polly the other day to St. Mary's, and we got behind, so we just took the bike trail to Coldwater. But I love exploring. I love finding things that I've never seen before. I don't like going back to the second place twice, you know? I want to go explore something else. And I think about it. Did I say something? I'm sounding like Joe Biden.
Yeah, you're going to the second
place twice. You know, I'm going to have to listen to what I just said because I know I. And it's. All right, I'm done. Hey, guess what? You're going to heaven. Goodbye. I know Auglaics County's that way. And I know St. Mary's is that way. Good town. We almost live there. You totally destroyed my train of thought. Thanks a lot, Ben. Okay, let's go back to this. Hey, well, I was on a great roll. What was I saying? I'm Joe Biden? Okay. I'm exploring today. Okay, let's get back to this. I lost control of the service already. You know when this normally happens? Earl Mills, my superintendent, he watches on Facebook every once in a while what we're doing. And this will be the Sunday that he will look. Because he normally, when I make a mistake, it's always the Sunday that he's watching. He goes, "You made this mistake," and everything else. 2 weeks ago, I said the Lexington went down. Remember in Midway? It was the Yorktown that went down. And so he pointed that out. Oh, thanks for my self-esteem here. Okay, let's go back to that. Okay, but you know, I really think that we as Christians, that's what we need to do. We really need to focus on what heaven and our eternal home is all about. I think we really need to look at that. Because you always think, how did these people, how did these martyrs in way back when, how were they able to endure? How are they able to stand up? I think there's two reasons. One is the fact that they recognized that this was not their home. Eternity was their home. And the second thing is they had the power of the Holy Spirit that helped them during that time. I really feel those two things happened. So if we were to go through something like this, I believe that the Holy Spirit will give us the power to endure that. Plus, we also need to look at the fact that this is not our home. Eternity is our home. Okay. All right, so let's go to the next one. Make sure I do this right. Okay. Heaven is where God is, my Father's house. Notice what it says, verse 2. My Father's house is many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Whose house? My Father's house. It's where God is. And we, as individuals, will be in the presence of Almighty God. And we will see the creation that God has made that is beyond any sin or anything that has been destroyed by sin and imperfection. It will be perfect. Okay? Revelation chapter 4 is a good illustration of that. And it's, once again, the four living creatures singing out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And the 24 thrones and the elders and people falling down, laying their crowns before the throne, saying, and this is what you're going to be saying, by the way. Okay? I believe it says the elders are going to do it, but I think you're going to be doing the same thing. You're going to be saying, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." You're going to, I really believe you're going to be saying that as well. So heaven is where my Father's house. Heaven is a place prepared with us in mind. Love prepares a welcome. Now, hear me on this one, because this is going to be a little confusing. Verse 2, in my Father's house there are many rooms. That room, that word rooms here. If you got the King James, it probably says, in my Father's house are many mansions. We normally think of a mansion, a place that's prepared just for us. And in the Western culture, what is a mansion? It's a big house. Okay? Okay, why do you need a big house in heaven? But we think of a big house, a perfect house, where we have our swimming pools and everything else that are there. Because that's the way we look at it in American culture. And they got that from the Latin Vulgate. Because the King James was taken from the Vulgate, Latin. And the actual word, I got it wrong in the first service. I'm going to get it wrong again. I should have went and looked it up and wrote it down. But the root word is monsoon or something similar to that, where you get the word mansion from. In the Greek, it actually means many rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. I think that's more right. And this is why. Many of you know I went to India and I went to Pakistan. Or Bangladesh, not Pakistan. But I went to Bangladesh and I went to India. And I went to the tribal regions there. And in the tribal regions, you have a compound, a family compound. You go into the woods, into the paths and everything else. And you come out and here's this family compound. In the middle of the compound, there are two stoves in which the people cook. And the stoves were nothing more than holes in the ground that you put some sticks in and you burn and you heated up your stove. Okay, so that's where all the women met, and that's where they would talk and everything else, and that was the center of the compound. On the outskirts of this compound are many rooms. And when you joined the family, they made a room for you. Got it? And so some of the compounds, it was it kind of looked like a plantation. Those old plantations, and when somebody would come in and join the family, they would build a new room onto the other rooms. And that's why I think the right translation is interpretation of this is this: when you become a Christian, you are brought into the family of God, right? And Jesus goes to prepare a place for you, illustrating. When you're engaged, the husband goes and starts building a house to prepare for you so you can have a new family. And so Jesus goes and prepares a place for you. When it's time to marry into the family, they go and get you. They bring you into the room, and you are now part of the family. I really believe that's what it's saying. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Just like a wedding. When Polly and I first got married, you know, I had to prepare the house for her. We lived in a 130-year-old parsonage. And, you know, the foundation was cracked and everything else. You would open up the basement door, you'd see this possum looking right at you. After that happened, I could hide all of Polly's Christmas presents in the basement because she never went down there. You know, and that, it doesn't matter because why? Because we're in love. Yeah, we were getting married. Yeah, great. How many of you remember, was that the type of house you lived in when you first got married? A lot of us is that way. My father-in-law, his first house literally was a chicken coop. They took a chicken coop and the church he pastored in, and they fixed it up for their parsonage. So they are in Phoenix, Arizona in a chicken coop. It didn't matter. Why? Because they were in love. But Jesus, the perfect And part of the creation process, Jesus was there. He's going to be preparing a place for us. He's going to be prepare a place for us. Okay, next one is, heaven is our eternal dwelling place. Verse 3. What it is essentially saying is, our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait a Savior. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. I urge you as aliens and temporary residents. You know why you feel so discontented here in this life? Because this is not our home. You got that? You should feel discontented here because you know something's wrong. You know this is not our home. Eternity is our home. We will spend thousands upon thousands and ten thousands of dollars to spend one more minute on this life. And we do that because this is the only life that we know. Everything else is by faith. And we hold tightly to this life because it's the life that we know. I think of the babies. We got babies in here right now. And I think of the babies when they started the whole birthing process. All they knew was the womb of the mother. They didn't like the birthing process too well. But now they're in a better place. And all the women said, amen. And I think the same way, this is all we know, so we hold on to it so tightly. We don't like the process to go to heaven. I don't particularly care about the process of dying. I love the process of Jesus coming back and taking me home. You know, to the second coming, I love that process. But our citizenship is not here. It's eternity with God in heaven. Okay, let's go to the next one. Heaven is only the beginning. So death is not the cessation, it's the commencement. I learned something this week. Hey, all you school teachers, I learned something this week. What the true definition of commencement is. A lot of times you think of commencement as the end, right? Because you high school commencement. What do? You go to high school commencement. It means your high school career is done or your college career is done. You have a commencement ceremony. That is not what commencement is. Do you know what commencement means? Anybody know? The beginning. And so when you have high school or college commencement, it's really saying it's the beginning of a new chapter in your life. And so heaven is only the beginning. Death is not the cessation of everything. It is the commencement or the beginning of a new reality or a new life. The neat part is when you get to heaven is there will be no death and there will be no changing. There you go. Nothing will take it from us. What makes it better? Lastly is this. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Thirty-four years ago, in one month, I was a nervous little 140-pound guy, 29 waist. I was excited because a girl finally said yes to me. I was going to get married. And I waited for that day, and I got pneumonia. But I was so bound and determined to get her married before she walked away that on that day in which I got married, and I literally should have been in the hospital, I'm still facing some of the effects of it even today. I had this girl that said yes to me, and I was going to marry, and I stood in front of the church, and I could not wait till the day in which I turned around, or that moment, and I turned around, and I would see her walking down the aisle. Who remembers that? walking down the aisle. And she said, yes. And we've been together ever since. I've never married a couple. I've never married a couple that has ever said, oh, let's get married and see how it happens and see what happens. Never married a couple that way. They always come down with the intention of the rest of their life they're going to be together. If they had the intention of, well, we'll see how it works, I wouldn't marry them because then they will get divorced. But they always think, I'm going to be with him or her forever. Now, biblically, that's not true, but I'm just saying that's the idea that they have. You're going to be with Jesus forever. The one that you served in this earth, the one that you knew came and died on the cross for you, the one that loves you, the one that left heaven to come and spend eternity or to spend a short time on this earth, the one that sought you and bought you so that you could be with him forever. You're going to be with Jesus. You're going to see him. And you're going to be the bride. Guys, I know it's hard for us to understand because we were up front during the wedding ceremony, the bridegrooms. The brides will understand better than the grooms. But you're going to be the bride, and you're going to be going down there, and you're going to see, here's Jesus, and I'm going to be with him forever. See, what a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see. And no mask on his face, by the way. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. Oh, that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no more sorrows there. There'll be no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And the more I will be the one who died for me, what a day, glorious day, that will be. Oh, focus on that, church. Don't focus on the riots. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what we have in store. Focus on what we're going to be looking at. And when you focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and you focus on the hope of heaven, you're going to be able to endure the riots and wearing the face masks and the summer that was not of 2020. Focus on eternity. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what your word teaches us. And we pray that as we continue to focus on heaven, that, Lord, we'll just start yearning for it more and more the day when we see Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for just your message and helping us to set our eyes and our hearts on things above. It brought tears to my eyes when you were reading the song at the end. It's just an amazing thing to think about when we see Jesus face to face. So, if you would all please stand and join us for one more song.
Father's heart, the mystery he lavishes on. As deep cries out to deep, oh, how desperately he wants us. The things of earth stand next to him like a candle to the sun. Unfailing Father, what compares to his great love? my soul should know its Savior. Forsaken for the sake of all mankind, salvation is in His blood. Jesus, Messiah.
Father, may your blessing be upon each and every person here, and may we continue to look forward to the day when we see you face to face. We praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, God bless you all.